Hello, welcome to another episode of Transparent Yoga in Everyday Life. And this is another one of our chakra series, and Molly can tease me about how I say it if she wants. This is the Throat Chakra podcast. We skipped Heart Chakra, but we're going to come back to it because it's so important. And stay tuned at the end of the podcast. There's a Throat Chakra related recording from the Mela.
So we're up to the Vishuddha Chakra. And does anyone know anything about Vishuddha? Except for that it's at the...
It has to do with voice.
Throat and neck. Yeah, it has to do with voice. It has to do with... its color is said to be blue. Vishuddha means something like purification. And so I always think of like this like really clear like blue river that's just like rushing through my throat and neck area, just cleaning and clearing everything out. This is where the elements get a little less concrete. And so some of this comes from like Anadeya Judith's work. And I would actually have to recall what she says about these as they get up to the upper chakras, like there's space or air and space. So I can look that stuff up for you. As a little aside, we talk about anything becomes sacred and meaningful when we imbue it with that. So those of you who have been on teacher training also know that we switched, for example, from the animal totems of telling you what the animal totems were to saying the animal totems are whatever you connect with. So in your group, come up with the animal totem for your chakra and tell us why that's the animal totem, right? Why do you connect with that? So you could also do that with the elements. And we can also remember that because these are esoteric, there are things that people talk about is like, this is the color, but then you can also look at a different book that says, well, it's this other color, and we can't really prove the color of these things. So it's also a way to both conceptualize and let go. So it's about what we speak, but it's also like what we're willing to hear. So it's about that kind of communication on both sides. Its sound is hum, and I was thinking specifically about two things that I wanted to share. One is I said to some of you that by this time next year I have two goals. One is to be able to chant all of the sutras. So when I'm sitting in front of Patanjali in the Isha Ashram, I can chant through all the sutras. And of course I have my fabulous, beloved Stephanie Sisson that I know will help me out with that. But the other thing I was thinking by this time next year, one of my main focus goals is to think about what can be left unsaid, right? And how many things that we talk about or say or interject that are benign at best, more noise sensory input at best, and hurtful in ways that we might not even know at worst. And, you know, it's going to always be subjective for all of us because one could actually say that most of what we say is unnecessary. The vast majority of what we say is unnecessary. So for each one of us, if you were to take that on as your practice, you'd have to decide where those lines are. I talked to some of you guys the other day that I just made like one small boundary for myself and I asked you guys to respect and you did. That was just about no information and no impressions. That sometimes we just want to share this information. But in the big scheme of things, like the information is completely meaningless. It's just other information. Like it doesn't matter. Or I was even thinking about, I told you like when I was on the massage table and for some reason it popped into my head, like when people say like, oh, you probably wouldn't like this. And how often we say that to other people and like, we don't know what people would like and they wouldn't like. Or I was even thinking about how we see someone else that's like looking for something and we're like, oh, well, the pool is right over there. And just that there's this sort of like interesting line where like anyone's going to find the pool on their own because you found it on your own, right? So just some interesting things to think about, or even like, oh, that was so amazing. That was so great. Oh, I wish you would have seen it, right? That can bring up things for people, right? But then also like, oh, like or the ashram, all of our different experiences, I didn't really like that, or it wasn't this, or even the other side of like, it was the greatest thing ever. Either one of those is information that doesn't need to be said and is detracting from another person's experience. So we can just think about some of those things. And then I had a specific thought that was bothering me and I was thinking about this with Vishuddha, and some of you were there. We met that woman who was on the ashram for 2 months, and she was saying she had quit her job in corporate America and was like finding herself. Remember, some of you were there? And I immediately was like, oh, my assistant did the same thing. And then I was like, my assistant worked for Caterpillar and, you know, made all this money. And now, and then she decided she wanted to leave corporate America, and she's young and she's able to find herself. And then I kind of left. And like, as soon as I left, I felt like yucky. I felt like I had to like take a shower for myself, right? Because one is that was totally unnecessary information. Like this woman was talking about her experience. To quote my student, Drea, I'm sure she couldn't give a rat's ass about what my assistant did or didn't do. And also that in that moment, I was also like not hearing what she was saying, right? She was expressing her experience. So in that space, that Vishuddha Chakra like wasn't enlivened in me because I was both providing information that was completely unnecessary and at the same time taking in information that was about her and her experience and just basically disregarding it for something else, which then comes back around to that idea of purification, Vishuddha. Right? So we start to really get a lot more clean and clear about what we say and about our ability to just listen. And those of you, you've studied it and probably other things, but those of you who have studied some IMT with us, it's one of the big things that we talk about and teach about for any retreat you've been on with me, except for this one. Really learning that process of witnessing, and that the vast majority of times when someone's talking to you about their experience, all they want to do is talk about their experience, and they actually don't want your input or your two cents or your advice and the ability to just listen. That is also Vishuddha. So just remembering that it's both sides. All good? So our practice today will focus on fluidity, and it will focus on the throat and that ability also to, that we can speak truths and we can use our voice and we can, so I'm at once saying leave out unnecessary information, but that we can also use our voices. Like our voices also have power, and that we can like chant a nice strong om, or we can have that kind of power in our voice. We can also imagine that the words that we choose when we're trying to express something really important to someone else will fall on open ears and open heart. So we can walk around with that idea in our head. So we'll focus on fluidity and a little bit of sound. And some of you have heard the story about Sasha at Kripalu, where I, you know that I have this, it's not quite an alter ego, but I call it an alter ego of Uptight Yoga Lady. And so I've always, you know, when people are like, make whatever sound you want in yoga class, and people are like, there's something about that that I've always just been really like contracted towards. And just a funny little story for some of you maybe is that Sasha and I have these really quite hilarious friends with a very quirky sense of humor. So for our wedding, they gave us some kind of a gift, but then they also gave us these gifts of sounds we were supposed to make over the next year, and that we had an option to renew after 1 year. We could like renew our sounds or trade them in. So mine was I was supposed to go, but anyway, like as much as possible throughout the work. And Sasha was supposed to go, ay, 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 ay. So we're at Kripalu together, and we're at one of these like super groovy yoga classes, and the guy's like, and anybody can make whatever sound they want, and people are like, ooh, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden Sasha goes, ay, ay, ay. And that kind of broke the ice and was funny. But I was also thinking about how I had a really different experience at Sadhana Hall yesterday when people were making a lot of sound in complete blackness. And of course I have no idea, and they're only projections and stories I'm making up, but it felt like those sounds were really like just emanating from, like there'd be silence and then someone would just say a really loud om, or there'd be silence and then someone would chant Sahanao, Navatu, or like whatever. And there was something that felt really authentic to me about that, because it wasn't in the context of like a lead class and a teacher going, now make a sound. It felt very spontaneous, and the fact that it was in pitch dark also just lent itself to going, you don't know who's making this sound. So I also want to just present that balance of there was something actually really beautiful about that, about people just expressing sound, because sound is part of what we express as our human organism.